How many know when you love people, you ought to love them like crazy? But you might as well let it all hang out. Because it's the intensity of your affection that means so much, that releases so much in people's lives. When you love, love well. And be intense in the way you approach what you do. And we come into this great Thanksgiving season and Christmas. It's probably your favorite time of the year, right? How many want it to be your favorite time of the year? Okay. Sometimes things that you want, you're not always find those expectations to come true. But it should bring a great reflection and contemplation to our hearts when we think about Thanksgiving and especially Christmas, because it really boils down to the essence of what being a Christian is all about. And we know that everything in the kingdom originates out of a proper motivation, a proper heart. If your heart's right, everything else is right in your life. Oftentimes, I'm guilty of trying to correct things in my life that are really meaningless. If I could just get my spirit right with the Lord, then everything else tends to flow from that. For out of the heart come forth the issues of life. If you look at the teachings of Christ in the Beatitudes, where he talks about the qualities of your spirit, he's giving us a pattern of how do we respond and react. And we know that the response that we have in any given situation determines the outcome of our life. You see, your life is not a happenstance occurrence. It's predetermined by your response and your reactions. Because when you respond in the Lord properly, you set in motion a predetermined outcome for your life. If your life winds up in a bad place, which often we find life ending in bad places, we don't look to the situation or the circumstances to try to evaluate that. We have to go back to the core of our being to find our response. That's why the scripture says if your enemy curses you, you bless them. If someone takes from you, you give it to them. If someone offends you, you forgive them. Because we know that when someone harbors in their spirit a spirit of unforgiveness, it becomes a spirit of bitterness. And then bitterness doesn't serve a good purpose for you. Do you know that? When you have retaliation in your heart towards other people, it only serves to destroy you. It might affect them to some extent, but it doesn't affect them beyond what they're willing to open themselves up to receive from you. But it always destroys you. But a root of bitterness will destroy you. And not only that, it has the potential to affect other people because it always seeks a like-minded, sympathetic ear. A root of bitterness does, to find someone to agree with the negativity that you're generating out of your spirit. You never create the kingdom through negativity. You create it through vision and building. We build, we're letting God build within us a temple. A temple then is like a mirror. I'm throwing some things out there this morning that hopefully that I'm understanding what I'm saying. A temple is like a mirror. When we build something, we become a reflection of that structure. If I try to become a reflection of something other than what I am, it's a false thing. But once it's birthed in me, it becomes an expression of the Lord. So as a Christian, to demonstrate the kingdom of God to the earth, we are simply a reflection of Him. His nature within us. You know, the scripture says we're being changed from glory to glory and from image to image into the image of the Son. So we become the reflection of the Son. We become the reflection of the nature of God. The fruit of the Spirit God gives us, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the faithfulness, the kindness, the long-suffering. All of these fruits that God puts in us manifest through us to reveal his heart to the earth. My only responsibility is to be a representative of someone greater than myself. If I try to bring some creation out of me, it won't accomplish nothing compared to what God can bring forth through me. It's Christ that's in me. It's not me and me, it's Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. That's the expression of the Father to the earth, right? So our response should always be predetermined on the basis of what God has spoken for us to be through him. We have to trust what God says above what our natural mind perceives or the circumstances dictate to us. Everything around you may be dictating one thing, but you have to, when you see that, you'll respond to it with fear. You'll respond to it with unbelief if you're responding in your natural man. But when you see all these things appear before you, if you look to the Lord, then you'll have a godly response, and so you'll have a godly result. Every time we stick our finger in the pie, we mess it up. We have to understand, he's the baker. He's the architect. He is the author of everything that we are. In him we live and move and have our being. So we must have a predetermined trust in the faithful and true one. Because that predetermined trust will give me a definition of who I am. If I let you or the world define me, then I'll always be in confusion. But if I let him define me, I am what I said he says I am. I do what he says I do. I become what he says I can become. When I let the definition come from him, I am what I am. I always like to say this, I am what I am, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot. When I eat my spinach, when I eat my word, when I eat his word, I'm strong to the finish. When I let the word of God be written and engraved upon my heart, when I let my mind be transformed and transfigured by the will of God, then I'm strong to the finish. I'm a son of God. Toot, toot. Yay. Somebody say, yay, Lord. You know, a fighter pilot flies a very risky occupation, doesn't he? Because he's flying in planes that go faster than Superman, you know. But the one assurance the pilot has is that he can be flying along at 800 miles an hour. And if something goes wrong on the plane, they gave him a little button called the eject button. When he presses that eject button, the seat, the canopy opens, the seat flies up in the air, the plane crashes to the ground, and a parachute opens. Hooray! The pilot is saved. I think this morning we need to understand that God has given you a parachute button for your life. That there is no destruction for you, but God has assured you of your victory and your salvation. You don't have to find your life spiraling down in a flaming mass of metal to crash to the ground to be destroyed. because the Lord has given you a parachute. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the parachute this morning, because a parachute comes forth out of the right response. Remember, right responses equal right reactions. I've said that for years here. Everybody say it with me. Right responses equal right reactions. You can change the very world you live in this morning if you'll get the right response coming out of your spirit. If you take out all the and buts and ifs and excuses, because no matter if someone is wounded in their spirit, it's amazing how that you can argue with them and tell them the proper way, but they'll always say, but you don't understand how deeply I was offended. And because I was offended so deeply, your parachute doesn't work for me. Okay, well, go ahead and crash with the plane then, because that's what's going to happen. But there's a way of escape. God has said, I've given you a way of escape. I've given you a way out of the bondage of the oppressor, the chains that have bound you. Because the Bible said that when we don't forgive, when we don't release, when we have the improper response, we lock ourselves in to a predetermined destruction. When we judge, we'll be judged. When we repay evil with evil, evil will be our portion. When we respond improperly to offense, offense will become a cancer to us, to destroy us. But there's a way out. Amen? Everybody say, thank God there's a way out. Now, maybe this message doesn't apply to you, but I would say, without too much worry of being wrong, within 10 feet of your circle, someone, and you can look around and identify them, someone needs to hear this. Because you're locked in to improper responses, and it's locking you out of the kingdom of God. It's locking you out of the joy of the Lord. Now, if you'll open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. Wow. By the way, I've got an alarm clock set, so when you hear a night owl make a noise, you'll know that I've run out of time. And when the night owl chimes, I'm going to close my eyes and go to sleep. Then y'all can carry me out of here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Everybody say, I want to understand what the will of God is. How many really want to understand what the will of God is? Okay, it's going to tell you right here. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. They pronounce it? Yeah, I got it. But be filled with the Spirit. Everybody raise your hand. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay. Woo. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wow. You know how I get in a good mood? I sing and I make melody to the Lord. Yes. Try it. Sometimes it works. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm mad. I can't do it when I'm mad. That's the very time you ought to do it the most. You can't understand this, preacher. Someone done me wrong. Well, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Because what God's saying, I want you to prepare your spirit so I can minister to you, so I can flow to your heart, and I can make a change in your life. It's when you sing and make melody to the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you so much. I bless thy name. You're so awesome, oh God. Oh, I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You know, you do that for a few minutes and it's kind of hard to be mad. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Wow. Saying and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. But it's more to it. Listen to the next verse. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's thanksgiving is to be thankful. Wow. What would it be like to be thankful all the time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Travis. Thank you. I mean, we ought to be the most thankful club in town, giving thanks to our God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's bringing your response into action and predetermining the outcome of your life. How many want to live your life in happenstance, hoping to wake up tomorrow, hoping something good will happen for you, wishing it would happen for you? Oh God, let something good happen in my life tomorrow, this week, this month, this next year. I'll tell you how you can make it happen. Wake up every morning singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks for everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And don't leave out the next scripture. And submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Assuming a place of humility guarantees you a place of reign. The humility of your heart will guarantee you the lordship of Christ ruling in your heart. Your arrogance, your pride will assure your destruction. But your humility will cause you to be seated with him in heavenly places. For as Christ himself positioned himself with his response, it said he became obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And he humbled himself a little lower than the angels. Consider it robbery to be counted equal with God. And now God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want to be joined with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. I want to be seated with him in heavenly places. But first of all, I have to predetermine to be positioned to be lifted to that place, to the humility that's in my heart. Give thanks to a thankful, to a gracious God. Give thanks to a gracious God. Put that trigger finger on it button that'll release you from the bondages that are trying to destroy you. Give thanks to the Lord. And after all, it's Thanksgiving week, right? Wow. What else should we talk about on Thanksgiving week? Any suggestions? This is okay, isn't it? Yeah. I wasn't going to take your suggestions anyway, so I'm glad you didn't say anything. I'm predetermined what I'm going to do today. I'm determined to drive you crazy with thankfulness, with joy. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. 1 Thessalonians says this, verse 16. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Verse 16 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse Peter. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Everybody say a little while. How many are glad that a little while is a little while? It's not a long while. It's a little while. Do you know the Lord knows that you can't and I can't take the long while? So he makes everything compartmentalized in how he deals with your life. The kingdom of God comes to us in increments. God segments it so that we can only walk in what we're able to absorb at that given moment. Because if we were given too much at once, or actually we're given what we're able to receive. So he knows what limitations you've placed upon him in your own heart. See, we have an unlimited God trying to communicate to a people that have a limited mentality. Sometimes it's difficult because when the natural mind starts ruling in our life, it immediately puts a boundary and a border around what we'll receive from God and what we won't, and how much we're willing to change and how fast we're willing to change, if we'll change at all. So you've got to understand, when you approach the Lord, don't approach him with an arrogance, assuming that you're on the same mental capacity that he is. Your ways are not his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your understanding is not his understanding. That's not to be critical of us, but it's to state the facts. That the Lord is so incredible in the scope of his magnitude of his intelligence and his ability to transform and for us to become, he does not just let that happen to you unless you let it happen to you. He never forces you to become anything. He only gives you the opportunity to position yourself so he can become it in you. Our whole Christian walk is about positioning ourselves so that he can become. Not about us trying to strive to enter into something with our own efforts, but just positioning ourselves before him so that somehow we can receive who he is into us. For the harder we do it in the flesh, the less we accomplish. It's never a flesh thing. It's a faith thing. A faith thing that enables you to connect yourself to him. Because that's where everything you need comes from, is from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. My strength cometh from God. My wisdom cometh from the Lord. My faith cometh from the Lord. Who I am is who he makes me to be. Anything I become apart from that will accomplish or do little, other than the brief impression that it makes in this world. But the impression that God makes in us becomes an eternal expression. Because God's just preparing you, not just for this life, but he's preparing you, but also for the life to come. Lord, we're going to follow you. We're going to serve you. He said, yes, if you do this, some of you get 30-fold, 100-fold, some the life to come. He said, I'll increase you not only here, but I'll increase you throughout eternity because you've positioned yourself for this perpetual manifestation of who I am to the earth. Well, I stopped, didn't I? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Whew. What verse? Okay. What verse was that? Verse 5, chapter 1. Let's back up. Did I already read some? Let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Everybody, thank God we have a reserved sign on the table in heaven. Amen. I mean, don't you like to go to, have you ever been to an event and you were, whatever reason, you got the reserved table? Feels pretty special, doesn't it? If you haven't done that yet, pay some money and go find someone that'll put a reserve sign. Where are you seated, Mr. Hart? I'm in the reserved section. Mm-hmm. See that table right up at the front? Says those signs, says reserved. That's where I'm seated. See, that's where God's taking you. He's taking to a place reserved in heaven for you. He's got an inheritance for you. He's got a place for you. Everybody say, just for me. How's that make you feel? Everybody raise your hand and say, just for me. God has a reservation for me. Amen. That ought to make you feel good this morning, right? No matter what I say that makes you feel bad, that ought to make you feel good in leaving happy. Amen. Okay, good deal. This little light of mine, I'm gonna see when the owl's gonna make, no, I got 15 minutes. Then you're gonna hear a hoot owl. Hallelujah. Now some of you don't imitate the hoot owl and try to cut this thing short, or it'll just make me mad and I'll go longer. Okay. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, this is talk, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Everybody say, I'm kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we greatly rejoice. Okay, this is a part you're going to rejoice in. Though for a little while, if you have been grieved by various trials. I know that 95% of you here cannot relate to this scripture because you've never been grieved by various trials. I sometimes think that I got the 95% given to me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're grieved by these various trials, so the genuineness of your faith, everybody say, the genuineness of my faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's something about a sweet-smelling savor, an aroma that's released from the spirit of a saint who goes through trials, that comes through the trials with the right spirit. What a testimony that is, that they've accepted the trial as a proving ground of what God wants to produce in them, and they make it through with flying colors. Wow. They say they look like the three Hebrew children that came right out of the fire. It's passed through the fire. Oh, they're going to die. They're going to be burned alive. All that remains is ashes. And all of a sudden, there they appear, whole and intact. Wow. Now there's something so special worked in them, it can never be taken away. Wouldn't you like to become so implanted in the things of God that there's no deviation, nor hesitation, nor vacillation on your part? But your word is like a yea and an amen. Your yes is a yes and your no is a no. And there's something of stability and strength in you that cannot be moved. Wouldn't you like to have that spirit? I will be like a tree planted by the water. I will not be moved. Because I walked through the fire. I've been tested. And now in the midst of all that, I give thanks to my God. I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Everybody say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Because when the testing comes, it reveals the truth that God has established in your heart. See, there's some things that you're going to go through in the days ahead that you couldn't have gone through, say, last year, because you would have failed the test. But because God is proving himself in you time after time after time again, you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're becoming faith. You're becoming a man or woman of God that cannot be destroyed because God has brought forth pure gold in your life. Amen? How many are glad you're becoming that kind of people? Woo! Remember old Jonah, don't you? Wow, I think Jonah, you know, Jonah's probably in the kingdom or in heaven right now saying, why do you keep picking on me? I mean, this guy, he blundered it big time. And God just probably keeps telling Jonah, man, look at all the people that have been helped by your blunder. Because I'm teaching them something about how they should respond today so they won't have to be eaten by fishes like you were. How many glad that with only one time recorded in the Bible that someone got eaten by a whale and survived, right? Thank God that you probably won't be written up like that. Hopefully not, right? But you know, Jonah was disobedient and he tried to run from God. He tried to shirk the responsibility that God had put upon him and tried to go out and do his own thing. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, said, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Now I'm going to tell you, when you're in the middle of a belly of a fish, you have two options. Surrender to the fish or pray. Right? How many found your life at times, maybe not a literal fish, I'm reasonably sure that none of you have had that experience, but how many found your life in a dark, desolate, lonely, forsaken place that seemed to have no escape? You don't want to go to the back end to escape. You know you can't go to the front end. You're locked in. And Jonah cried out in the middle of his captivity. He cried out to the Lord in his affliction, and he answered me. Did you know something, that God will answer you in the midst of your deepest affliction? Try it. It works. I've seen so many people that they're going through something that's in their mind is as bad as this, been in the middle of a fish. And I'll say, okay. They say, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Cry out. Ask the Lord. They don't even listen to you. Oh, no, what do I do? You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. No, cry out to God. What else is there to do but cry out to God? I'll do anything, but don't do that. So what am I going to do? Hit the altar. Oh, no, wait a minute. I don't believe in this altar stuff anymore. You know, I don't believe in repentance. I don't believe in turning back. I mean, God did it all for us, so why should we do anything now? No, hit the altar. You'll find there's deliverance right there. There's freedom right there. So he said, I cried. Man, I'd be crying, wouldn't you? And he said, you heard my voice. Call upon me, saith the Lord, if I will not answer you. Lord, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. The flood surrounded me, the billows, and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. How many have ever been so under it that you just wonder if God can even see you anymore? God can even hear you. Guess what? He does. Remember, he's the one who said, I'll never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. I don't care how far into hell you think you've gone, God can go further than you ever imagined to rescue you. I don't know how disobedient you've been or how arrogant you've been or prideful you've been or whatever you've been, God will go to the very depths of the deepest sea, the most challenging fish, and rescue you when you call upon him. Call upon me, saith the Lord. Wow. I don't want to hear the hoot owl. Okay. 7 minutes. 43-minute message. I'm doing better. Bill did 63 minutes. So he keeps telling me he does 22-minute messages at the Presbyterian Church. So he's been living in frustration. So when he gets here, he triples his length. But to be honest with you, it was so good, I thought it was 30 minutes. Okay. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, to the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, Lord, now you brought me up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you. This is what he says, I'm going to sacrifice to God. You see, the Lord is not impressed with sacrifices that men make. Oh, God, I'm going to give you more money. God, I'm going to give you more time. God, I'm going to give you more effort. Lord, I'm going to give you more study. Lord, I'm going to give you this and this and this. You see, that's all well, but that's not really what impresses him. What impresses him is when your heart becomes a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to sacrifice to you, Lord, Jonah said, with a voice of thanksgiving. I'm going to let thanksgiving rule my heart. I will pay what I vowed to you, Lord. I'll give you this praise for your, the salvation that I have today is from you. So it's not that hard to serve God, is it? We give him the praise, the thanks. We rejoice in his presence. And let him do the work that he wants to do within each one of us. For every challenge that we face, every challenge you face, I face today, has one solution, is to point us back to the God of life, the God of salvation, the God of freedom. Everything you go through, you should view it as one thing only, is it's pointing you back in the right direction to him. You can make a lot of mistakes in your life, and I'm sure that many of us will in the future. Some of you may make grievous mistakes. Mistakes that you feel like there's no way you can come back from them. You may have done some things to people. Even tonight, today, you think that, Lord, could you ever really bring me back from that brink? Yes, he can. If you'll come back and just say, Lord, I bring you my heart. I give you my life. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for your salvation. I reposition myself. See, all that is repentance, all it is repositioning yourself, turning yourself back to where you need to be. It's not some ardent process that you've got to go through for weeks and days and months and years and, oh my God, if I could just ever break through again. No. It's just a matter of turning your heart to the Lord. There he is. Then you're singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to him, the creator, the originator, the author of our life, the one that carries us through the valleys of the shadow of death. It carries us through the lonely places. Carries us through the desolate times. Carries us through the days of rejection. Carries us through all the calamities that come to the human nature. God carries you through every way. He becomes the salvation that you need. Psalm says, because you've set your love upon him, therefore the Lord said, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. You should call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. This little light of mine, let it shine in the presence of Almighty God. Wow. Happy Thanksgiving. We give thanks to our God. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning.